Welcome. We've got the off-track racing show presented by BikeMag.com. We're coming at you guys from Whistler, BC, in our temporary studio today, my office. The bike park is hammered. We need rainfall like the desert. Lift lines are big, and the seasonal racer Power Ranger racers are in town in full force. So that only means one thing. We're about 2 weeks out from the circus rolling in here. That's called Crankworks. I'm your host, Tristan Merrick, and we have a great show lined up for you guys. We had our first doubleheader weekend of the summer, one of two. We had the Winter Park Enduro World Series, and we had Val Nord Andorra World Cup DH. So exciting, exciting racing all weekend. Like I said, it was our first doubleheader. We've got two of them, our next one taking place in 2 weeks' time with Whistler Enduro World Series and Mount St. Anne World Cup. So today's guest, we had none other than the Nomads, Chris Johnson. We'll be chatting, catching up with him later on today. He was down in Winter Park racing the Enduro World Series, and him and his teammate Dylan Walski have been on the road for the past 6 weeks, racing all over the place. And Chris has been knocking on the door of that top step of the podium. Just quite hasn't gotten there yet, but I'm sure we've got some good things to catch up with him. So joining us today in studio, he's been on a bit of a vacation, a man ride, as they like to call it. They've been descending a crazy amount of feet over in the last little bit in the BC Rockies and some of BC's finest single track. We got Seb Kemp in studio today. Seb, welcome back.
Hello, Tristan. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good, man. Good to have you. Good to have you back here. It felt weird the last 2 weeks. I think last time we talked to you, you were in a back alleyway in downtown Vancouver.
Goodness, yeah.
So it's been a while. What's been going on, man? I mean, working, traveling.
Summer has been going on, really. I think it's just been a case of getting around and getting after it while we've got all this sun and dryness. But yeah, like you say, it's getting hot and dusty up here in BC now. So let's start doing a rain dance, step on some snails.
Supposedly we're supposed to get some. I mean, we had a bit of a rain shower last night, but it's... At this point, I think it needs to not rain, or it needs to rain 2-3 days of torrential downpour to make a difference. I mean, riding the trails around town the last couple of weeks, they're getting hammered. They're even, you know, the bike park, we expect it this time of year, but I was out for XC the other night, and there's big rocks all over the place. It's dry, it's dusty. Gone are the days where you can ride tire to tire down some of these trails. I mean, you need glasses, you need goggles, you need whatever you can take. So
yeah, for the last week I've been picking brown bogeys out of my nose. Like, it's that dusty and dirty. But you know, we can't really complain, because in just a few months' time we'll be packing the bikes away, no doubt, and having to dust off those horrible ski machines.
Let's not talk about that. I mean,
let's move on.
Let's move back to the weekend. Let's move back to the weekend. So, first doubleheader, we had Andorra Val Nord World Cup taking place. It's been a while since the last round. Some super exciting stuff with that. A win streak was broken, a win streak was continued, and a first time winner. And then of course we had the Winter Park Enduro World Series. Another win streak kind of getting created. Total enduro domination by one Jerome. But because we've got so much to go over with here today, what we're going to do, we're going to do what's called the 4x4. We're going to do 4 minutes on the women's downhill. We're going to recap that. Then we'll go on to women's enduro, then into men's downhill, men's enduro. So we're going to just stick to the facts here, kind of go through what we saw, what we didn't see, and then move into later part of our show. We're actually going to do a Whistler Enduro World Series preview. Being fortunate, this is our backyard. It's pretty exciting that we're going to have this caliber of race on our trails. Myself and Seb will be actually racing that. So we've, a bit of an inside edge here, knowing what's going on around town. They haven't announced the courses yet, but we've got the inside scoop of how the schedule is going to work for the week, and we'll be breaking all that down. So first things first, let's work into our first category here. Like I said, we'll do the 4x4. Women's DH recap, and Seb, Rachel Atherton, undefeated. But the win margin's getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, that's a good sign. And it was great to see Manon Carpenter out there. You know, she's been a great white hope for Britain for a while, so it's good to see her out there, especially on an extremely technical trail, that it looked like. But Rachel Atherton, now she's in one piece, and her mind is functioning at full speed.
She's got a dog. She's got a boyfriend. Apparently, life is good.
But yeah, she's doing good, and she seems to be leading the charge for the Atherton team. I mean, we saw G, well, we shouldn't talk about them, but G's knocked off the top step, and we see Dan Atherton's in surgery getting fixed up at the moment. So, yeah, it's good to see some more success rolling in for that Atherton program.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's cool to see Manon climbing up there, challenging Rachel. I think she openly accepts that and encourages it quite a bit, just seeing at the finish line how instantly she's running over and, congratulating Manon. I mean, 1.6, that's...
But then if we look at it, I mean, 1.6 Manon was back, but then third place Miriam Nicole was back 11 seconds from Rachel Atherton's time. So we're seeing there's those two. There's two British girls. They were head and shoulders above the field.
And it's cool to see the girls rise to the occasion. It's a fresh track in Andorra. Like you said, extremely steep. I think the videos that the Parkin brothers have been putting out on Dirt TV do not do justice for what it is. It's, I think the vibe around the pits was it's a fresh track. Everybody's excited. It's a level playing field. Yes, there was a test event a few weeks ago, which not a lot of the teams were at, but yet at the same time, it was a fresh start for everybody else. And looking further down through the results, the other girls, there's quite a gap, from third place down to fifth. I mean, even there's still, it's seven plus seconds. So,
yeah, it's interesting to see. We should do two British girls on top, and then it's a French sweep for the next four places.
Yeah.
And then
little Tanny Seagrave there, junior, coming in seventh place. So that's a solid result, but still 26 seconds back.
Wow.
That's a gap, and I guess one person I wanted to touch on, we haven't really talked about her much this year, would be...
Who do you want to touch?
He might not appreciate it, but Jill Kittner, Factory Norco, just haven't even seen her on the radar yet this summer with racing. And I'd heard some rumor that maybe she's not going to be at Mount St. Anne. She might be in Whistler for the Enduro World Series.
Oh, really?
I'd heard that the other day. I can't confirm that, but I thought it was from a pretty good source, but...
I think she's had a bit of bad luck through the races. I mean, last year she had a bunch of crashes and injuries, didn't she, at the World Cups? So this year I think it's just been a few bad luck and just getting up to speed. We know she's...
Well, she was second at the first split, which is the first bit was the pedally part. And then she dropped off pretty hard after that, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's... Yeah, like you said, with her getting up to speed and everything else and... Bryn keeps having issues, unfortunately. That's got to play a little bit. Relationship stuff with the other person, your manager, your travel partner is having a tough time, especially that team dynamics. That's got to weigh a little bit on her there. So, and no Canadians at this round, which is...
there was not a single Canadian.
Not a single Canadian. They seem to be getting injured at a very quick rate. Miranda Miller, rest up, heal up. She had a chain slip and broke her arm.
And surgery.
Surgery. And then Casey Brown, broken collarbone, plated, surgery. Mm. I think Michaela Gatto just decided to sit it out
tanning? I think on her Instagram, she was tanning on a beach.
Yeah, hashtag Gatto booty. I'm not too sure the ins and outs with that, but...
ins and outs.
And then ins and outs. And then with that, that's the end of that segment. So, women's enduro, let's just keep it going here. Win streak, Tracy Mosley. It's kind of looking like she might, I don't want to jinx her yet, but she might start wrapping the series up with rounds to go. I mean, her points margin's getting bigger and bigger. She's remaining undefeated. ACC, I think, who we thought was going to be the one challenging her.
At the beginning of the year, I had all my money on ACC. I thought
you would have been dumb not to.
Yeah, but we've seen with accidents and just a bit of bad luck, but also Tracy Mosley is a competitor. Like, truly a very strong-minded, strong physically, good preparation. She's got a good support network.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend James is on the course with her. We saw her doing some tire cutting for her. Like, they've got it sorted, and I think it's great to see someone like Tracy doing it right as well.
She's super upbeat at each and every round. She's taking it serious. She wants to progress the sport, right? She's not... Where some of these riders, they're just kind of winging it to see how it goes. Tracy, I think, wholeheartedly believes it's, enduro has a huge future and wants to see it grow with everybody. So cool to see her up there again. But, 38-second win margin, where all the other times were quite tight. And I guess even the more alarming thing is between second and third is over a minute between ACC Anik Burton there. It's wow. Jumps back where Anik was in third, but a minute 54 back. So.
But then from third to fourth, we're looking at over 30 seconds as well. So there's some big gaps there. I mean,
it's
look at the course times. We're looking at 6 minutes, 12 minutes, 12 minutes, another 5.5, 9 minute yeah. courses. So it's quite long stages.
Lengthy courses, and it was it's just cool with Tracy, because she's kind of said that she worked more on her cardio this off season, not on her kind of downhilling skills. I think she thought that was going to affect her lots, but it was, we've seen in Europe with the last two rounds, it hasn't been an issue on those mm-hmm. tracks. And you know, and then coming into Winter Park, you know, new venue, different stuff. They had their little hiccup there where they had to take a stage and convert it into two stages because they couldn't get to the fourth stage due to some freak electrical lift maintenance thing. I have no clue. I think
the lifty was hungover.
Yeah.
He didn't arrive for work in time, probably.
Yeah.
But also, I think the altitude was a big thing. We've seen some of the fitness riders come through as well, like Heather Oemiger.
Yep.
Rosara Joseph, she's a very good bike handler, but she also comes from an XC World Cup racing background. And Anik Bertin in third place as well. So it's interesting, those first two places between ACC and Timo, I think they've got those two places wrapped up. But then behind, we're seeing some interesting shakeups happen.
Yeah, and it's going to be exciting again coming when these girls show up to Whistler in, you know, next week's time, to see exactly, you know, what's going to play out here. Is it, you know, is our course is going to, you know, favor ACC before, you know, more so? She has won here before with those events in the past. So it's, you know, looking through quite a, you know, only about 30 female competitors, but strong names. And like you said, Kelly Emmett down there and Anka Martin rounding out 10th place. It's, you know, they're putting five minutes into these girls. So Timo, a force to be reckoned with, and just, you know, all around great professionalism, what she's doing in the sport and everything. And I'm not too sure if she rode a 29er though, this race, or if she was on that new 650B that Trek came out with spur of the moment that Rene was riding. So we're kind of seeing that. I guess that's the wheel size debate, but we'll keep that out of here. A lot of the companies kind of stating in the last week or two here when they're releasing 2014 models that this is what it's going to be. So
yes,
it's yeah, another topic, another day for that stuff. So. And let's jump in here. We've run out of time with that one. We are going to go straight into our men's DH.
Back to Valnord.
Back to Valnord. This was probably one of the most exciting races to watch in the last little bit.
Well, exciting because the Red Bull stream broke out for what, 5 minutes. We had to.
There's some serious first world problems there. The message boards I'm pretty sure Pink Bike message board may have melted down along with the, you know, Vital MTV. But
you can understand it because most of those people that are complaining, they are about the age of a fetus, and they've grown up with all this lucky telecommunications that we take for granted now. But yeah, it broke out, so we missed a bunch of riders' runs, so I can only speculate on that. We also saw Cam Cole, the horse.
He took the digger of all diggers.
Oh, my goodness. I saw a tweet from him today. He says he's okay. He's up and about in a neck brace today, but that crash just looked horrific.
If he didn't have a horse's neck, I don't want to know what... If that was little Danny Hart or some, you know, one of these 110-pound kids... I don't want to know what would have happened to him.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
But right up front, Rémy Thuron. This guy's been banging on the door. He's kind of one of those guys always showing good speed in practice, you know, good qualifying. He was second World's Juniors a few years ago, I think, to Bryceland. And what he put together was probably one of the most flawless runs. Like I was saying to you before we started recording here, he came down eighth last person, I guess, and it looked so smooth, and then I think it really put into perspective as the faster guys started to drop in, just what kind of run he actually Absolutely. Was on, and yeah. and he truly linked the dots, and couldn't be more happy for somebody like that to get a get a win and everything.
Some great lines, but yeah, and he's also riding the common setup, which is homed in Andorra.
Yeah.
And we saw the last time, was it the last time the Andorra race was on? That was when the Athens run Common Sal and they swept the four cross women's and men's downhill. Has there been another race since?
There was another one since, because that was the one where...
But I would like to throw this out there, that perhaps perhaps we're seeing some local advantage.
Some local advantage. Well, I mean
maybe that bike is just built there to test on.
He had a supercomputer attached to his bike there for practice.
Maybe Max Commensal knows how time works.
Yeah.
And how he can bend it.
Yeah.
No, I doubt it. But incredible to see Rémi Thiron. Looks like that's somebody else who's in there right now. It could be in the mix.
Confidence is there. Going to Mount St. Anne in 2 weeks.
Knocking G back to second. But the big one, the one I so wanted to see, Sam Hill, after his qualifier, put in the win for the qualifiers. His run coming down in last, I was on the edge of my seat. My girlfriend had got out of bed because I was screaming at the screen. She came out of bed, sat on the couch next to me, and even she was excited and nervous. She said to me, "I am really nervous right now." And I had all the goosebumps just watching his run.
That's the exact same.
Foot out. Like, I wanted to see Sam Hill win so badly.
Kind of looked slow in the first section, and then the split came up, and it was like, no, he's on it. And yeah, he was pinned down there. Stevie Smith salvaging a fourth after a pretty shocker of a qualifier.
Well, we saw him say to camera after his run, because he sat on the hot seat for a very long time. He'd had a poor qualifier, and he said that he knew his run wasn't good enough for a win. He thought he would be happy with a tenth top 10, and if he was super, super lucky, he would get top 5. And he did, fourth place.
So
that's keeping him, what, second overall?
As far as I know, that'll keep him second in points. And then young Troy here, as we wind down, we only got about 20 seconds left. Troy in fifth, Greg in sixth, uncharacteristic. You know, I'm very uncharacteristic to see him off the podium. The guy with the custom Specialized Demo 8, Aaron Gwynn, in 10th.
I think he's doing it just to wind up the internet haters. I think at this stage, he's just like, this is going to be brilliant fun. I'm going to do weird stuff with my bike, and the internet's going to have something to talk about. And then I'm going to do some weird results, and the internet's going to have something to talk about.
Okay, and that's a wrap for downhill here. Let's get it going. JC, total enduro domination, another win, 37 seconds over Vulio. Dude's on fire on the race course. The stories I heard from the after party in France at Les Dels were pretty mind-boggling, and I'm sure he could only have partied pretty good last night. So, I mean, Seb, what's your take on what's going on down there?
I'm so happy. I got to meet Jerome Clements last year at the Trans-Provence, and he's a fantastic human being. Like, regardless of mountain bikes, regardless of how good he is, he's a fantastic human being. And money was on him this year, and sure enough, he's really coming into gear. And that's brilliant to see. And we're seeing the same kind of faces in the top positions. Mikkel Vuljaas in second, Fabian in third. That's really good. But then we're starting to see some of these North Americans come through. Aaron Bradford, I met him a few weeks ago at Sun Valley. Really cool dude as well. Yep. He rides his bike so hard all winter long. He's doing cyclocross. He's incredibly fit, really, really fit, and pretty skilled. And great to see him take the fourth place. And is that going to start seeing the North Americans come through? I mean, he beat some of the other top North Americans, but at the same time, was it?
Well, I mean, it was with him, and I think what backs it up is Joe Schuessler. Joe Schuessler was sitting in fourth place after the second day, had a bit of a mishap on that final one. But showing these North American guys that they're up there, kind of mingling with the top factory dudes.
Yeah, Curtis in 11th, Chris Johnson 12th, and Brian Buell, another Colorado local, which kind of makes you think, I mean, those guys...
Didn't he win the RDH?
Brian Buell?
I'm pretty sure one of the guys won the RDH on his enduro bike while he was racing, Aaron Buell.
Wow.
Or Brian Buell, sorry. One race the first day, one race the RDH down at the Winter Park. And whatever Colorado free ride festival, whatever those things are called. I thought that sport was dead anyways for that. But he did that. Very impressive. I do want to call out Curtis Keene. Last year he told me when he saw me at Crankworx Whistler, sunglasses and a full face. And he just shook his head and walked away. Last one I checked on Vital last night, there was a picture of him, sunglasses and a full face, enduro, bro.
Oh, my word. I wonder what his... big sponsor Troy Lee are gonna have to say about that.
We'll have to get Stick on here when he's up in Whistler. Does this pass the cool test? Chris Johnson, 12th place, the Nomads, one of our guests later on.
Yeah.
Huge get-off, massive get-off after the, on the final stage, about 500 feet from the finish line, 40 mile an hour, full swap out. Rung his bell, just seized right up. So somehow made it across the finish line, nothing broken, nothing damaged. Him, his teammate Dylan Walski, 22nd. Again, these guys, I mean, they're good friends with ours. They've been touring around the last 6 weeks going for that. Solid showing by those guys.
I think it's interesting that there's a lot of North Americans kind of knocking in just that late top 10 and then in the 11th to 20th position as well. I noticed reading around people's Facebooks and comments, Twitter and whatnot, a few people were commenting about the altitude. Colorado Winter Park, I think what the village is at 2,600 meters or something ridiculous, which is way above even the top of Whistler Mountain, and the top of some of the stages were over 3,000 meters. And that does affect performance. So we're seeing some people with some Colorado lungs. Obviously, you have some, I think, maybe a little advantage in there.
Yeah.
But it goes to show those top guys, people like Nico, Barrel, and Clements, who all live almost at sea level anyway.
Yeah.
Able to fly across the globe, go and ride some courses they've probably never ridden before, and still come out on top. And that's mountain biking.
That's mountain biking. Okay. And that's that. That's the 4x4 wrap-up here of our doubleheader weekend that happened.
God, this enduro-style chat is knackering, isn't it? We're on stage four now.
Let's go into stage five of today's off-track podcast. So, obviously, racing all done and wrapped up from last weekend. This weekend, there's no World Cup. There's no Enduro. Kind of a bit of a setup, a bit of an off weekend for everybody. And then we've got the Whistler Enduro World Series kicking off next weekend.
And Mount St. Anne at the same time.
And Mount St. Anne World Cup. So the next segment I wanted to get into, we're going to do a little bit of a preview. Obviously, us living in Whistler. Courses haven't been announced yet, but we do have some information we want to chat about at the same time. And who knows, maybe there's some riders listening, even though I don't know how many people actually even listen to this thing. They can get a bit of an inside scoop. So where do we start with Whistler? We've had an Enduro here a few years. It's progressed. Last year, I'd say it wasn't bad, but there's definitely a few speed bumps in it as far as liaison times and course qualities. I think what people thought was Enduro, the Euros got here and went, what is this? This is Enduro. Like, this is a footpath. This is not for racing. So going into that this year, we're seeing a huge change.
My handicapped 8-year-old grandmother riding in Lost Lake. She'd never have had races in there, and so I'm pretty sure we're not going to have Lost Lake laps again this year. But yeah, it's a lot of pressure for the local organizers. They've got to step it up. They are some of the best race organizers in the world. We see it week in, week out. Fat Wednesdays, Toonies, and this Crankworx, which is biggest event in the world. I'm pretty sure we can say that. But they've got a lot on their hands to try and make sure they put on a world-class event with the whole world watching, especially with last year's history. So,
well, it's Darren Kinnaird's turn to kind of take the reins, right? We've seen all the other rounds. It's I think that's been the cool thing with Enduro. Each area has had these guys that are very recognizable within the sport. We've had Fred Glow. We've had Enrico Guala. Now we're coming into Whistler. We've got Darren Kinnaird to kind of take over. We saw him in France, too, at the same time. He's got his hands full. And as far as what information is actually out there, we have been told there's an email that went out the other day, and it's going out to the pros either maybe today or at some point this week. They have released what the next week's schedule is going to look like in terms of how practice will work, when you can practice, when can't you practice, which has definitely raised some eyebrows when you read the email. We've got 5 stages is what we've been told. Next Tuesday, which is August 6th, 7 p.m., we're supposed to be getting an email that says, hey, this is what you guys get to race. But then Wednesday, Thursday is full closed course for taping. You can go practice Top of the World, which is supposedly the start of stage number 5, and then who knows where it's going from there. But it's interesting that they are going to release the schedule, and I think maybe after last year's hiccups and a lot of people playing, well, we didn't know how to get from the end of the Lost Lake stage to the Blackcomb stage, giving people maybe, hey, this is a map. Take 2 days. If you have any questions, make sure you come ask us. Because if you don't and you want to complain to us at the end, will gladly shut you down and tell you you didn't do your homework. I mean,
that's a good choice. So anybody that's coming for the Whistler Crankworx Enduro race, then this is a great chance to finally get out of the bike park and go and ride around.
There's trails outside of the bike park?
There are thousands of trails.
I thought there's just the bike park and ride, don't slide. So that's what the magazines keep telling me when I read about
Whistler. Actually, did you see the Justin Wiper video this morning? Absolutely brilliant. The kid is on fire, pinning around, but the blurb about it is he rides some of the trails outside the bike park. He rode Pemberton and the bike park. There are some other Whistler trails here. But anyway, back to it. Yeah, if you're coming for that race and you want to have a bit of a level playing field, then just go and ride the other trails outside the bike park. There really is a lot out there. So.
Well, they're so unique and diverse, right? I mean, we've got the function trails, we've got the, you know, down which is Riverside, we've got West Side trails, we've got stuff up in Rainbow, we've got the Alpine trails, we've got Emerald, we've got Black Cone, we got Whistler, we got stuff that goes off the backside of Whistler.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much, and I think with all these kind of world-class athletes going to be in town, I'm excited to see them go try out some of the other stuff that's in town, not just come in and get tractor beamed into what it is and go adventure around. And at the same time, there's Squamish and Pemberton, but I'd assume hopefully they'll stick around afterwards and those guys can get out and adventure. But we got 5 stages. It's Whistler. I mean, maybe except we should touch on, maybe you can touch on as far as just how kind of gnarly it is out on all these trails. I mean, we're not looking at what happened at Winter Park. It looked like pretty buff with rock gardens, high speed. But a lot of the, I know talking to Chips trying to line up the interview, he said a lot of the corners really, you know, banked up and bermed, which makes it a little easier with ruts. Whereas in Whistler, a lot of the corners are just, you know, flat with big roots. You kind of just pinball your way through the corner, you know, hold it open, ricochet in one direction off the next one. So.
And the other one is, I think, a lot of changes of direction on the Whistler trails. It's one thing of years and riding different places. One thing that does make it very characteristic of Whistler is that sudden changes of direction, little punchy climbs, hard little techie moves. It really does take like the grace of a ballet dancer and the strength of a weightlifter to ride those trails really fast.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun. Hopefully, I'm pretty sure like Whistler has always had the ability to put on a great event, and I think this year we're really going to have an opportunity to show off to the world like what Whistler's got. I don't know about you. I got a real soft spot for this place. That's why I call it home. So I really want to be able to show it off to the world.
I agree with you 100%. And that's where it's almost the hardest thing to get out and leave in the summertime. I mean, stoked that you were just out on a week's road trip. But, you know, I have a hard time leaving. I was riding around last night, and you just look up and you're like, this is my backyard. This is pretty cool.
Ruben Crabb, photographer to the stars now. He's another Whistler local, and he's put out the claim on Twitter the other night. He said that Whistler Valley epics are the new Chilcotins. And I think he's got a point in that.
I agree wholeheartedly. I did one the other day. You know, it was only 20-some-odd K ride, but I started down in almost in function, kind of in the Tamarack zone, and ended up way out in the Alpine, but did a ton of trails in between, and I was punched. I was blown right out afterwards. It was like, get me, as soon as I, you know, 3/4 of the way down the last trail, I was like, I can't wait for that beer and a burger at the bottom. You know, it's exactly like Chilcotins. I'm like, tax, let's get me there, get a burger in me.
I see, that's worth pointing out. This weekend in Whistler, if anyone's about, it's the Barbecue World Championships or something, or the Canadian Barbecue Championships.
Down at Dusty's Bar and Grill. So that is Saturday to Monday. So
if anyone wants to go and do some that trail laps or some Kybers or the other that trail laps up on the backside of Whistler, like hit me and Tristan up this weekend.
Definitely, we'll be kicking around, and that's pretty much the best way to go about it. I know myself and Nick Geddes did that the other day. We did a Kybers on Saturday morning, and went down and had a pulled pork burger and
butt rub mayo
and some wedges and a beer. So exciting stuff with that. When we're talking about the trail stuff, I think tire selection is going to be pretty interesting here. I know for myself, I've already been kind of scratching my head. Because it's been super dry, things are getting blown out. They're getting rougher than normal. There's sharp, you know, there's more sharp rocks getting exposed. I thought I kind of had a plan in my head, and then after riding the other day, I've kind of thrown that out the window. And I think, you know, running full exo casing front and rear, and a bigger 2/4, you know, front and rear, not going down to a faster rolling tire was kind of my choice. I kind of came across the other day because you got to get to the end of the stage. It's enduro racing, you know, like.
I think this is different. We saw this at Colorado at the weekend. A lot of the tech talk in the pits was about fast rolling tires.
Trimming tires down and cutting down the centers.
I think we're going to see something a little bit different in Whistler because of that. And that's why this morning I was tweeting around asking, where are the 27.5 downhill tires? Oh, yeah, they're all on the catalogs and websites, but
are they sold to OEM dealers
right now?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting how the tire thing unfolds. I mean, I think where we've seen in France where guys were switching from, if it was going to rain a bit, from cut spikes back to dry tires, that doesn't exist in Whistler. There's nothing that's going to suit that. And just looking at the way our kind of the geography is, I'd say we're going to have more of a Punta Ala style race. You're not getting on the chairlift like we've seen in the last few rounds where you just go up and down, up and down. You're going to have a backpack. You're probably going to have two helmets on it because of the liaison stages, which is going to be interesting to see if, I'm not sure the exact ins and outs, but do you have to have a helmet on during the transfer stage? Or can you just have your full face, you know, propped up on top of your head? It'll be interesting to see how Darren and the rest of the crew roll out these rules come the riders meeting next week. And if anything kind of gets raised up, I know, Pundala, Fabian Braille won, but I know a few people put out a tweet, specifically one Mr. Petey, that he was like, well, why did I just ride around with two helmets on my, you know, one on my head, one on my backpack, when Braille won, and he was pedaling around with his helmet up on top of his head.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I think that was probably more down to the organizers specific to their insurance and liability. I hope we don't have to wear two helmets around, but I hope that everyone wears full face.
Not just to whistle around. You have to. You have to. But
I want to see more people wearing full faces for sure. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, just even the last little bit, the more I've been riding, I went out and did a ride with a full face on the other night. It's just, I think that's where we need in the next year or so. We'll see a big push in our sport is just personal protection, just for day to day riding. Like, went out for a ride the other day. Unfortunately, she had a little crash with Katrina Strand, went over the bars. Big cut across the top of her kneecap.
And that's her out for a few weeks. She's getting daily drains and she's not able to work at the moment and certainly not ride.
Yeah, so
she really wanted to put in a good performance in the enduro race. So yeah, personal protection.
It's, you know, just riding with knee pads on a regular basis, but is there anything really specific, right? You know, Troy Lee makes some stuff, but they're more of a downhill. Making something that really works for, you know, I don't like to use the word enduro racing or enduro riding because that's not what you call it, just going for a bike ride, but something where we're pushing it more and more when we're out for these trail rides. What kind of safety equipment should we have on ourselves? Because her spill was very innocent and the effects are pretty damaging, unfortunately, for her. So
are we going to see back protectors at the Whistler race? That's the other one we've seen at the French rounds. So.
That's France, the French rules, right? So I mean, even if we do, as far as what I've seen, according to Ben Reed, all I have to do is take a cereal box and tape it to the inside of my jersey, and I'm A-okay by French rules. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how things develop here with at Whistler.
Another thing was weather at the moment. We're talking about how, I mean, we're looking out the window and there's barely a cloud in the sky. It's incredibly blue. It's very dry at the moment. But are we going to see what we see almost every year at Crankworx? The first weekend of Crankworx, there's almost always rain. Almost always. You think about it, we used to have the Garbanzo race.
I know. I love that race and I feared it every year. I was like, yep, it's Wednesday right before Crankworx. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming, and lo and behold, Thursday turned into a shit show. Friday, even worse. And then Saturday, there's almost snow and cold. You know, you're up top. You're like, I'm freezing, freezing. I'm very intrigued. Like we said, I don't think tire choice. You're going to run the same tire in Whistler. There's too much rocks, too much roots to really get around that. But it's been dry for a while. We've had a few rain showers here and there. We've actually had more thunder showers than we've anything this year. So. Be very interesting to see how that unfolds. You know, specifically, we don't know what the courses are yet, but if there's five stages and it's raining and we're, you know, riding around for a huge chunk of the day, that throws another, you know, another kink in it. You know, you have to have a raincoat in your bag with you if you're riding with a backpack and just managing, keeping yourself dry, keeping goggles, keeping sunglasses clean and ready for the stages. You know, it's we had good weather last year, and I'd like to think, because we don't have the garbo the first weekend anymore, maybe that'll Maybe that'll push it out of the way there. We'll keep having nice weather, but trails are running good regardless, dry or wet. I think wet would definitely throw an interesting wrench into the plans there. So, and going into bikes, this isn't 29er territory. I'm going to put that out there right there, right now. I don't see 29ers. I mean, unfortunately, I'm looking forward to Curtis Keene getting a good result soon on the Enduro World Series, but he's been the top 29er guy, and it's not a podium yet. Mm-hmm. So
Aaron Bradford, though, he was on 29er at Colorado, but there's whispers of it was being a little bit smoother and faster rolling than it will be in some of the other rounds. So yeah, absolutely. Let's see what bikes and tires and wheels get rolled out at Crankworx.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. So that's 2 weeks away right now. It's
what about
Mount
St. Anne?
And Mount St. Anne. Well, that's what I was just gonna lead into. We're gonna that's enough enduro talk, and let's go into Mount St. Anne World Cup. Probably one of the most legendary things. One of the most favorite tracks I've ever ridden on a downhill bike. If you ever are out east, highly recommend it. It is gnarly. It is. I couldn't think of more of a man track out there. It's going to be interesting. Does Remy have a bit of confidence now where he's been getting good qualifying results? He just knows he has to put it together now, or is the weight of the world on his shoulders and that's that? And are we going to see Aaron Gwynn try and figure out, that was his first race years ago where he got 10th, on a whim, shows up, gets 10th with a massive air boner over the finish line jump. Can he figure it out, or is he just going to continue stirring the forum pot out there and getting people all ticked off? I mean, who knows? I mean, what's your take we're going to see there?
Please let us see some Sam magic. Like, I hope that he takes the momentum from this weekend, can roll it for the next 2 weeks and come out. Because, I don't know, I don't want to blow his trumpet like everyone did several years ago when he was on the Golden Iron horse and everybody was infatuated with that devil. But I think it's great to see him back.
He's kind of reinventing himself a little bit, right? Like, he had injuries for a couple of years. The sport doesn't matter. They still race every weekend. There's a race, regardless if you're at the start line or not. He's kind of had to reinvent himself, figure out the pace again, and the sport's changed. I mean, it's crazy to think, like, the flat pedal faithfuls aren't faithful anymore. They're cheating quite a bit on their clips. You see Blinky's going back and forth between them, and ultimately he's ending up on what was a pretty rough gnarly track in Val Nord there. So yeah, I would love to see Sam Hill. I was yelling at the TV when he was in Fort William, when he was up at the splits before he had that slight mechanical on the motorway, which kind of put him back, but still solid result from him. And same, I was sitting on the couch yesterday morning, like, oh my God, like, please do it. So
another thing to consider is we're getting closer and closer and closer to the World Championships. And I know there's a few riders out there that have set their targets specifically on the World Championships this year.
Yeah.
Greg Menard being one of them. Are we going to see maybe a sort of tapering towards that event rather than the World Cup series now? If you take an injury on now, that's going to really...
Well, that's where I see the not a lot of guys. I don't see Canadian Open at Crankworx being a big draw event. I think a lot of guys are going to finish Mount St. Anne, and with Worlds right around the corner, they're going to go, they're not going to train overnight and, for a few weeks' time to make a huge difference, but they're going to go focus on that, right? As much as 10 grand is pretty awesome. So is the world, so is Rainbow Stripes, especially for Greg, that being his hometown, his backyard. So it'll be exciting to see what happens there. So,
and another doubleheader. I mean, I don't know about you, but it was almost difficult to keep up with both races happening this week, especially from afar.
It was difficult.
There's all sorts going on at the same time, but I also felt that without dear old Misty Gorilla Sven, the 100% parking, and even Matt Ragg, who does it for the Enduro race as well, without them present at the Colorado event, I felt like it wasn't quite as magnificent as it has seemed in recent weeks. Maybe it was just overshadowed because it was a doubleheader. Maybe it was missing those wonderful media chaps who stir the pot so well.
It'll be interesting what takes place next weekend. I know Sven still isn't going to be, or not next weekend, the next round. Sven isn't going to be here. He'll be out at Mount St. Anne. We'll have his other half, his better half, Anka, here. So we'll have to, maybe we'll get her to fill in and bring up the banter and everything like that. As far as our show come then, we're still trying to work on some formulas. Because all these guys are going to be in our backyard here hanging out, we're going to try and have kind of maybe a bit of a mega show where we'll do a couple other smaller episodes. But I really want to get in some of these French riders that are, you know, past present and killing it currently and going into the future. And along with Jared Graves and those guys, try and get them down for an interview or two during the week there. So we'll be coming back at you guys with a show for then and just working on formula. So make sure you guys stay up to date with everything that we're doing, though, on Twitter, at off-track or off_track MTV. That's where you can stay up to date with everything. At the same time, if you got any questions, fire us an email at offtrackshow@gmail.com. And that's where everything's happening. But this is where we're going to sub you out, Seb, and we're going to sub in with our next guest, Chris Johnson from the Nomads. So I want to thank you very much for coming by today and chatting with us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tristan. And over to Chops.
Yeah, over to our Chips Brew. But we'll see you out on the trail, and we'll catch you later on. Online right now, we've got Chris Johnson from the Santa. Well, is it really the Santa Cruz Nomads, or is it just the Nomads, Chris? What's the exact title of your team?
Ooh, we are just the Nomads, Tristan.
Nomads.
We're a privateer team, and Santa Cruz is our head sponsor.
So they're the ones that are helping make things happen. So your most known nickname is Chips, and you're joining us right now from down in Winter Park. You just finished up racing the Enduro World Series, stop number 3. How did it go, man? I mean, we were looking through there, we heard you had a bit of a get off, but you were sitting solid top 10 there before today's final stage. How'd the weekend go for you?
Well, it was a really good weekend overall as far as how the event was run, and you know, both the event organizers, Bob Holm and Chris Ball, worked really well together, I think, to put together a really good event. And, it was all in the bike park, and it was stretched over 3 days. And so, the suspense was, you know, sort of stretched out a little more than normal. And they had some really, really good stages, a good variety. They had us do some really downhill-style stages right through to more like an Outback stage, and today we finished with a long stage right from the top of the mountain to the bottom, and it was good fun.
Good time. So I mean, a bit of a different one as far as we've seen every round we've had so far this year. We keep having. I'm sorry, it wasn't even round 3. It was round number 4. But every round has been different, right? So for you guys down in Winter Park, you only found out Thursday afternoon at noon what you'd race Friday morning, and then you had to wait, you know, after you finished racing Friday morning, you had to wait till Friday at noon to find out what you're racing, you know, Saturday morning. So it's a bit of a different format for you guys. How did you take to these variables that you had to be dealt with?
It was a challenge. I mean, we were here a few days before, so we tried to ride what we could, and not knowing what horses would be. I mean, there's tons of junctions in a bike park, and they could link in together. And then as far as practicing after the first day of racing, when they announced the trails the next day, it was tough. You can't really wear yourself out. Some of the stages required you to ride 20 minutes up the chair, and so doing 2 laps would wear yourself out. So yeah, it was the strategy and right. Horse is a bit more blind than you'd be hoping to normally.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I mean, it's been, I think that's been the coolest thing about it. And this was your first Enduro World Series. So, I mean, just for, I guess, for all the listeners out there, Chips and his, you know, his partner in crime, Dylan Wolski from the Nomads, they've been staying in North America. They are your kind of definition of the privateer team. I mean, what's it been like for you guys so far this season? You know, where there's all these factory guys that are getting to globetrot. You guys are living out of a van, touring around all of North America, doing the Oregon Enduros, the Big Mountain Enduros. Maybe bring us up to speed and the listeners up to speed of exactly how the season's been for you so far, because you've had some solid results. You've been knocking on that top strap of the box. Unfortunately, haven't gotten there yet, but lots of a couple seconds, a third. You've been doing really well.
Thanks. Man, the season so far has been amazing. We've really sort of blinded all the biggest races in North America this year, and I've been super stoked to you know, be on the box, and I haven't quite got to the top yet. That's definitely what keeps you motivated to get up to the top there. And it's been really good seeing how different events are run. Like the Oregon Enduro, they have more adventure flat going over. And then the Big Mountain Series is more alpine and chairlift access, a lot bigger at higher elevation as well, which also brings the altitude factor in also.
Yeah, so you guys have been racing pretty, all over the place. And, I mean, how has the altitude been? I mean, that's been the biggest thing when we've been talking about the rounds that have been taking place over in Europe, you know, Val d'Alos and Crankworx France. I mean, how was the altitude for you this weekend? Up at Winter Park, I mean, we saw with Joey Schuessler, local kid, it didn't seem to affect him whatsoever, but we've seen all the other top guys, but is altitude, is that really a huge determining factor for you when it comes to race time?
I think it really is. I mean, when you're pushing your body to the limit that you are on these courses and for that amount of time, I think, it definitely comes into play. And I mean, even, you know, in your regular day, you can find yourself short of breath. So I think it's definitely a factor. And, I mean, Joey, he's a local here and fantastic rider. And, he did really well.
Yeah, it was cool to see. I mean, that's kind of the first, obviously he was sitting fourth at one point there before today. And, cool to see him knocking on that door, local kid and whatnot. But, it's all about you guys right now. So you guys have been touring around, you've been cruising around, living in the Thunder Pig. What is the Thunder Pig and how have the road stories been so far this year? Because you guys have been away from home for the last 6 weeks, correct?
Yes, that's correct. We've been on the road for 6 consecutive weekends, racing every weekend. And I think we're up to probably 10 or 11 events total over the season so far. But I think it's been kind of taxing itself, just racing every weekend. It's tiresome, and it's tough on your mental game. We've definitely had a lot of road trip stories, and the Thunder Pig's been treating us well. It was at a last minute purge last year for our first event, and served us well. It's done many a mile now. It's still cruising along.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, like you said, it was a last-minute purchase. I mean, you guys started the team last year. You guys were, full privateer, but just kind of on a recreational level compared to this year, right? I mean, you guys are, both you and Dylan are fully focused. It's not that you're unemployed, but you're not, in order to stay focused with racing, you guys aren't working at the moment, so... what kind of, is there lots of stresses within life just to try and make sure you guys are getting to each and every round?
Absolutely. I mean, we worked hard through the winter to take off the 4 months of summer. I think we're really lucky to have employers that are letting us do this. And absolutely, you always carry the stress of how you're going to pay for it. Been a privateer, but I mean, this year, we're new to the game, and I think one of the biggest things for us is just proving ourselves and making ourselves known within the media and building those relationships with our sponsors as well.
And is it kind of like a, because you guys, you know, you started last year very basic, you're more serious this year. Was there kind of a game plan that you guys had set out beforehand of you can't go from zero to factory, but is it, are we going to see you again next year trying to get to that next step, or is this just, give it all and see what happens this year, and you guys will determine at the end of the season if it's something you guys wish to continue and pursue?
You'll definitely be seeing us next year. I think it's definitely a long-term thing for us, and sort of how it came about, we're individuals that sort of come together and, sort of shared the same passion, and, Enduro coming around really just sort of gave us the direction, and, we really want to strive for the top, and yeah, we're not giving up anytime soon, that's for sure.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And I mean, Santa Cruz is your guys' frame sponsor and everything, but who else is helping pay the bills and getting you guys to each round? Because I mean, like you said, you're a privateer team, so you guys have put together your own package, but and you're pretty much in your own right. You guys are team managers, you're operational managers, you're coaches of yourself. Who's helping you guys make sure you're getting to each and every round so far this year?
So our other sponsors that we've got this year, Tristan, you broke out there.
Oh, sorry about that. I was just asking about what the other sponsors are, like who's helping pay the bills.
This year we've got some amazing sponsors on board. Santa Cruz being one of the head sponsors. We've also got Envy Composites, which give us wheels, handlebars, stems. Fox is all our suspension. Shimano is our drivetrain and component sponsor. Raceface is also been a fantastic sponsor and big help for us this year. They've supplied all our safety gear, pads and casual wear, race gear, and Giro helmets and shoes and gloves. Maxxis tires, MRP guides, Ergon have given us grips, saddles, and backpacks. Smith Optics, outstanding sunglasses. We've also had Suspension Works helping us out, which is a local Vancouver suspension company, and Bowfield T9, Knight Rider lights, Suspension Therapy, which is our third member. Arthur Gaio's company, and also Mike's Conditioning, which has been our personal coach, helping us to get to where we are today.
Yeah, and I guess that's the coolest thing. I mean, you guys you're working with a trainer in that sense. I mean, they must play such a huge role, specifically within this enduro sport. What you and Wolski are dealing with all winter. I mean, I know from chatting to you, it's. You're at work and you're training before work, you're getting off work, and then you got to train. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that you're having to fit into those winter months. And I'm sure it's as long as the winter seems, I'm sure it almost could be a little bit longer to help out there always can be a few more dollars made and a few extra kilometers put onto the bike or onto the wind trainer throughout the winter time. So.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, I guess you've got to have a bit of love for it to get it done. And, doing a full day of work and then coming home and still having, a list that Mike has given us to get all to stick to it's really challenging. And, I mean, Vancouver is a pretty cold place in the winter. You're talking about, days that are 0 degrees and, it's hard to motivate yourself. But, I mean... now that the season started and, we're doing the travelling and hanging out with the people we're hanging out with and surrounded by, great companies, and I think it makes it all the more worth it. And, I'm super pumped that I've sort of put that time in the winter and it truly helped me where I'm at today.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess to some background, I mean, how did you end up in Vancouver, right? I mean, you're New Zealand-born guy living in... Wellington, you lived there, you did your stuff, you got introduced to cycling, you started off with, decided to enter on a whim onto a 24-hour solo race, and now you're racing Enduro World Series. I mean, what I mean, it's kind of it's funny, everybody we've had on the show this year, you know, you talk to them about their beginnings, and it's everybody's got such a you know, an awesome story to tell. So I mean, where were your beginnings, and how did you get to the point where you're in Vancouver, you know, chasing the dream that you're currently on right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I didn't to say how it all unfolded is, it even blows my mind, I think. I mean, I've always enjoyed riding bikes, and I've always been athletic. My family, you know, we've never spent a day inside on a sunny day, you know, like we're always out. And I was a cycle courier in Wellington, and I think that sort of possibly even sparked a more of a competitive streak in me. It's a, you know, it's a competitive game, and you know, I had a lot of fun doing that. And from there, I did a lot of traveling, did some backpacking around, and you know, rode here and there, but nothing competitively. I was still just recreational. And when I came to Vancouver, I was just visiting friends, and you know, sort of fell in love with the place. You know, the terrain, the scenery. You know, everyone's like-minded, adventurous, and yeah, it sort of snowballed from there. I met a guy that's a really good friend of mine now, Rob Venables, who owns Dunbar Cycles, and he was a guy that just took me under his wing and you know, showed me a lot of stuff, and yeah, pretty much got me racing bikes. You know, sort of never looked back from there. I guess I saw my potential. And it's something I've always wanted to do, and yeah, I'm glad to be pursuing it.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't think of a, you know, not to be biased because I live up in Whistler, but I mean, I couldn't think of a better place, just anywhere in the sea to sky, you know, North Van, Squamish, Whistler, Pemberton, to live and to pursue that and train. And I mean, I think it's been cool, you know, following you throughout the season, you know, getting your results, you know, second at the last round of the Oregon Enduro. Right behind, you know, factory rider Curtis Keene, and then, you know, you had the second round of the Oregon Enduro, third at Angel Fire. I mean, you've had some really solid results. You know, arguably you're in the two kind of most important races of the year, the Winter Park Enduro World Series, which we just had on the weekend there, and then coming up with the Whistler Enduro World Series. I mean, You've had strong results, specifically at Crankworx. I mean, you had a third back in 2009. You know, last year, where did we end up there? Looking through, you were top 10 last year. Is that correct? In the
I think I came sixth in 2012.
Yeah.
So definitely looking to back that up, and I think it's going to be, you know, much stronger field this year. But I mean, there was still some really, you know, strong riders last year. And even though, like, my overall, you know, wasn't ideal, I missed a stage start. I had some, you know, I was really stoked with some of my individual stage times, and yeah, hopefully I can back that up again this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of your, as much as you're not living in Whistler, right, you're an hour and a half away. It's, I guess, you know, that everybody has in every other sport, you know, it's your home race, your home track. I mean, I guess this is technically your home race until there's one down in Queenstown, you know, down in New Zealand. This is about as home track as you can get, correct?
It's, Absolutely. It's so true. I mean, being on the road this last couple of years, I mean, I haven't really ridden in Whistler since the last Enduro last year. I mean, through the winter, you know, Whistler's not really rideable. And so I've been making do with what's around Vancouver for trails in the winter. I can't wait to get back up there. And we're looking forward to making the drive home tomorrow to get back on the trail.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be exciting. I'm sure there's a few people that know your name at all the other races you're doing, but I mean, there's just something about racing here where you have all your friends and you have family and people are screaming and yelling your name, you know, as you're cruising down the track. It's not just somebody yelling at you. When somebody yells out your name, it's almost like a bit of motivation. I mean, do you get that kind of courage when you're cruising down the hill? You're gassed a little bit and you hear somebody you kind of recognize yell out your name. Does it spark you on a little bit more?
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's always a great thing about racing home events is the extra support from family and friends, for sure. And yeah, it definitely gets you stoked. It gets revved up, you know, and yeah. gets you going.
Gets you going. I mean, and one other thing I was looking at, I was checking out your guys' Facebook page. So if everybody who's listening right now wants to stay up to date with what Chris and Dylan Walski are up to and the Nomads team, I mean, definitely check them out at thenomads.ca or stay up to date with them on their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram account. I mean, these guys have, there's always lots of videos up there. But I noticed you guys have 666 likes. Is this a sign that you guys have sold your soul or the team's soul to the devil for Whistler Enduro World Series total stage domination as Jerome would like to call it? You guys are primed and ready to be firing here in 2 weeks' time?
Absolutely. I hope that's a good calling, seeing that 666.
I was just noticing. I was like, oh, that's interesting to see there. I was like, maybe they have sold their soul. It's just gonna stay at that, and they're gonna be trying to give it. You guys will be giving your all, and I don't doubt we're gonna see you up there as far as in the standings come 2 weeks' time. I mean,
definitely looking forward to it, and I mean, we're still, you know, it feels like we're only sort of halfway through the season. You know, there's still some big events, and we're looking to get to Europe at the end of the year. Would be really stoked to get over to Finale and compete on the European soil and, you know, compete at one of their events. And, you know, because, you know, people, it's tough. I guess the travel's tough, and, you know, they could say that it's harder with the travel, but, you know, it'd be good to go over there and challenge them on their soil and just see how we go there too. I mean, I think the terrain over there and the style of racing, the burly long descents is something that we, you know, riding Whistler and Vancouver area is something we're used to. And yeah, we'd be really stoked to get over there and challenge them on their terrain.
Yeah. And with, I guess, with the Euros now being in North America, I mean, what's their camaraderie like? You know, is it all, because you guys just did 3 days worth of racing, is it all game face serious all the time? Are you guys, you know, all having a good time chilling out between stages and the start gate? Like, what's the vibe that you're getting now that we're back in North America? Are they pretty relaxed around there, or don't speak to them or make eye contact?
No, I think in enduro is it's, you know, being a new sport, and you know, I think that's really the great thing about enduro is there does seem to be a good amount of camaraderie between everyone. Everyone's great friends. You know, I don't think anyone's shrugging anyone off yet, you know, that I've seen. You know, like, I mean, being a world event, it is serious. And, you know, compared to other events that we've been a part of this year, you know, it really has stepped up. And I think you really do feel the pressure, and that's something you need to sort of put aside. And, yeah, I mean, there's guys, you know, analysing the track a lot more than I've ever seen. And I guess, you know, you really are looking for those split seconds and seconds everywhere. You know, times are incredibly tight. It was unbelievable to see that, you know, it was a field of 130. And, you know, even over the 40 minutes of racing, I think, you know, the guys around me are still only split by 5 seconds or so. So
it's crazy. I think that's been the startling thing is the guys up front, you know, first place has been pulling a bit of a win margin in the last couple of rounds, but just how tight it is through, you know, the first few stages, it's just with each and every format being different, you know, like when you said the guys are staring at you know, doing more course walking and checking out where they're finding these milliseconds. And I guess, I mean, it, you know, myself being a racer, I guess I'm intrigued to see how things will take place when it's in Whistler in a couple of weeks, because you know, I look at a track and maybe I don't look at it enough, where then I come into something totally faster in race pace. And I don't know, you know, then you're like, well, I don't know what's going, like, I'm not making my line over there, so I don't know what's going on. So I guess it's, you know, they're analyzing it and looking at it so much more. And I mean, I guess that's their years of racing wisdom when you're Nico and Fabian and Jerome and everybody else. It's they're on another level. But I don't see why you as an individual can't take these guys down in a couple weeks' time or at some point in the near future. I mean, it's, you've been showing such skill and talent and stuff, and It's you know, that was your first taste this weekend of racing on a global scale, right? It's
absolutely, yeah. Thank you. I mean, for me, I just feel after the weekend here, just taking it all in. I've, you know, lacking experience on these, especially the, you know, the top three French guys there. You know, they've been doing this for how many years now, and you know, I really got to take that into consideration. That there's so much to learn, and it does come with time. You know, there's no, you know, you can't argue that. It's yeah. Oh, it really does come with time, and you just learn a little bit every race, and it's a fine balance. It's still with the enduro racing, there's a lot of strategy as well. You just can't go out 100 miles an hour out of the gate. You know, you've got a lot of liaison stages to, you know, to factor in, and yeah, just make it through. I mean, this weekend was a 3-day event.
Yeah, it's I'm sure you'll be lots to think about in the next little bit, especially on the drive home and everything.
Absolutely.
Nitpicking. Yeah, everything's all like pretty good right now, and then I'm sure within a day or two's time, if we were chatting to you, you'd be like, yeah, well, I do this different and I do that different, and I would attack here, you know, like you just
exactly.
You've gone now that you've kind of gone through the you know, even though it was a new race stage for all those top guys, at the same time though, they're already in the program, they're in the flow, they know what to expect, how to judge what their body, you know, what their body's doing, let the track come to them, all that stuff. So it's
most definitely
lots to digest and everything, and you know, we're just glad to hear that you're in one piece after your get off today at 40 miles an hour. I mean, that's it's good, yeah, very good that you're in one piece and everything. But what have you got planned for this coming weekend? I guess it's an off weekend of racing, I would hope for.
It is an off weekend, and I'm super stoked to be going home and spend some time with my beautiful girlfriend at home. And I think that'll sort of summarizes the week to come. And yeah, pretty much after that, it's going to be up to Whistler and practicing there. So, I mean, I'm sure time's going to fly, and before we know it, we'll be counting down again.
Yeah, it's scary looking at a calendar today, just like, okay, next weekend's that, and then we're racing in town, so it's one last free weekend up here, and then the circus rolls into town, so it's should be good.
It's
but
busy.
You know, we'll let you go right now. I mean, we know you want to go catch up with all the other riders and everything. We definitely appreciate you taking the time to come on the off-track show here, and like I said earlier, glad that you're alive and in one piece and not too beat up, and we look forward to catching up with you when you get up into Whistler here in about a week and a half's time.
Thank you very much for having me, Tristan, and yeah, for everyone out there listening, if you want to follow us, we do have our own website, thenomads.ca, and also we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So yeah, if you want to follow our travels and adventures, privateering around North America and possibly Europe at the end of the year, yeah, hop on board. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks very much, Chris, for your time, and we'll catch up with you later on, man.
Thank you, Tristan.
Always great catching up with privateer racers like Chris and everybody else we have here on the Off-Track Show. So big thanks to all you listeners for tuning in here today and checking out what Seb and myself had to say. And then, of course, tuning in with Chris there. So we've got an off weekend upon us coming up right now. Well-deserved for all these guys. They've been putting in work. And, I mean, for the enduro guys, like we said, they're going to probably be up here in pretty short order, rolling into town. So we're hoping to do some special stuff here with the Off-Track Show, maybe doing some not just recap of the race, but maybe sit down with some of these legends and pick their brain and get some interviews going here, kind of give you guys some more behind-the-scenes stuff and some stories of what they have, not just you know, usual 30-second or 2-minute videos that we're seeing on a lot of these other websites. So big thanks to BikeMag.com for presenting us here. Like I said, stay up to date with us on our Twitter account, off_track, MTB, and that's where we have regular updates of what's going on, who's going to be on the show, or if you have a question for one of the guests, or even a question for us. So, again, everybody, thanks very much for taking the time, and we'll see you guys when we wrap up the Enduro World Series report here up in Whistler and the Mount St. Anne World Cup. Till then, take it easy and keep the rubber side down.